Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world and live toxic free. It's Wednesday, November 11th, 2015, and today we're going to talk about toxics from an angle that we haven't ever discussed on this show, and I think that most people aren't discussing or even thinking. I know that I wasn't even thinking in these terms until I read an article called Get Mad When Folks Ask You to Be Sent Free. Here are 8 things to consider. And this article was talking about how people should be considering other people's needs as well as their own, and particularly other people's needs to not be exposed to toxic chemicals. There is a whole group of people who have multiple chemical sensitivities, and many years ago I was in that group, but I recovered from that. But those people are in the same kind of situation of not having access to public places as somebody who is in a wheelchair doesn't have access to a building if there isn't a ramp. But the larger picture is, don't all of us have the right to access a place that isn't toxic? So we're going to be talking about these questions and more as we look at toxics from the viewpoint of a right to access issue. My guest is the author of this article, Adrienne Belot. She's a writer, artist, activist, and educator who focuses on advocacy around disability justice and transgender rights. Hi, Adrienne.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Good. So how did you get interested in access rights?
Well, a lot of my friends are involved in disability justice work in a whole variety of ways. And I've had chemical sensitivities and fragrance sensitivities for a couple of years now. And at one point, one of my friends pointed out to me that this actually is an access issue, and it sort of shifted my whole perspective thinking about disability justice and access, and helped me realize that there are all sorts of different ways that people face ableism and accessibility issues in our society. And while like limitations and like privileges that people have might vary depending on different kinds of disabilities that they have, this definitely falls into that category. And so it helped me sort of change the kind of community work I was doing and think about accessibility in a new way.
Yeah, after reading your article made me think about accessibility in a new way also. And many years ago, when I had limitations on environments that I could be in because of my chemical sensitivities, I think I took the attitude that, well, I'm not going to sit in my house. I need to figure out what I need to do so that I can safely go into those places. And so that took the form of, I used to wear a raw silk scarf around my neck, a big, long raw silk scarf, so that no matter where I was, I could put it over my nose and still be able to breathe without so much exposure to the chemicals. But I wasn't going into a lot of places where there were a lot of chemicals. And so it did limit my access. It limited what I could do. When I went to work I had to work in an office building, and I took an air filter with me. You know, I'm always trying to figure out, how can I do that? But it comes down to, nobody should be exposed to toxic chemicals, that everybody is being poisoned. You know, that there should actually be signs up saying there's poisons in this building.
Yeah, for sure. Nobody should have to be exposed to it. And then, you know, it's really debilitating for folks who have higher sensitivities. And I think it's really important for people to be more aware of it. You know, I did like a first aid CPR like online training recently, and there was one slide that was about like toxins in the air. It was basically just like talking about, you know, maybe you're working in a place that has like exposed paint or polyurethane or something like that, and the first aid scenario was somebody was getting really dizzy and out of it. And it's like, oh, you got to make sure that you call 911 and be careful. And I was like, yeah, but like, you know, like those symptoms that people experience from chemicals that folks do recognize are definitely toxic, like polyurethane, are symptoms that folks with multiple chemical sensitivities experience with stuff that other people won't necessarily notice a reaction to, even if it's still hurting their health.
Right, and that's absolutely true. I would say, though, that what they should have said was that if somebody, anybody, whether they have MCS or is just a person who doesn't yet know that they're sensitive to chemicals, that if somebody is exhibiting symptoms in a situation like where there's fresh paint, the first thing, the number one thing you do in that situation is take them outside.
Definitely.
Take them away from the toxic chemical. That's the chemical. That's like the number one rule of toxicology and poison control center is you get the person away from the poison. So, I mean, maybe you should call 911, but you need to get the person out of the building first.
Yeah, I think they did say that, but,
Good.
I didn't remember the whole slide.
I just wanted to make sure that our listeners know that if you see somebody who is being made ill by a toxic chemical in a building, that the first thing you should do is take them out of the building and then call 911 if they need more help. And and it's interesting to me that they're talking about this because that shows that there's more awareness and that it's a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. It's especially in workplaces where people are exposed to chemicals as part of their job. It comes up a lot, I think. But, you know, it comes up in so many different situations depending on what folks' sensitivity level is. And I think, I know for me it's easy sometimes to kind of, like, even for myself, like, writing about this and talking about this issue, like, it's easy to believe, like, what folks in general say around, like, chemical or fragrance sensitivities, where it's like, oh, like, you're just sensitive, like, it's not that big of a deal. But, like, when I actually look at, like, the issues that are involved and the barriers that folks with multiple chemical sensitivities face, it actually is a real problem. It's just easy, I think, for people to think that, like, oh, like, why would my, like, deodorant matter? You know, why would, like, my, like, the kind of, like, cleaning solution I use matter for somebody else? But, I mean, like, some people get seizures even with multiple chemical sensitivities, and some people literally can't even leave their house. And I know for myself it's affected, like, my workplace environment. Like, you know, when I was working in a school with students, if folks were wearing perfume, that was really difficult. It's even affected my housing situation. At one point, I had a landlord that, that sprayed our house with chemicals, and I couldn't live there anymore.
Yeah, that is a problem. But I keep wanting to say that it's a problem for everyone. It's especially a problem for people with multiple chemical sensitivities, but it really is a problem for everyone because everyone's being poisoned. And that was a shift that I went through. I used to think that I was in this little isolated subgroup of people who were particularly sensitive and that there was something wrong with me. But what's wrong is that we're being exposed to poisons that are poisons to everyone on a daily basis. And and that's the problem. It's not that my body is saying, wait, don't expose me to these toxic chemicals. It's that everybody else who isn't having the symptoms that they're not aware that these poisons are there, but they still, those poisons are damaging to them and we shouldn't be exposed to them. I think we're coming up on the break, but I just want to say this before we go and then we'll come back and talk more. But, I was thinking about the show, what we were going to talk about today, and I realized that there's an acknowledgement now of, like, cigarette smoke is not allowed in public buildings.
Right.
And it used to be that everybody was smoking. Nobody knew it caused cancer. Now they knew it caused cancer. And so then it became illegal to smoke in buildings. But that's only one toxic chemical. That's only one pollutant. If people were to realize that perfume causes cancer, then we could have perfume not allowed in buildings too. And we could just go down the list and until we actually apply the same logic behind cigarette smoke to all toxics.
Yeah, definitely.
Wouldn't that be great?
So that would be really nice.
We need to go to break, but we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. And my guest today is Adrienne Belew. She's the author of an article called Get Mad When Folks Ask You to Be Sent Free. Here are the 8 things to consider. And if you go to toxicfreetalkradio.com and look for this show, there's a link to the article. And you can just see it right there, or you can Google it and take a look. We're going to be talking about it when we come back. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. And my guest today is Adrienne Belew, author of the article, Get Mad When Folks Ask You to Be Sent Free. Here are 8 things to consider. So, Adrienne, really, what is the problem here? Why should people not be mad?
Well, I mean, people can have whatever feelings they want to about anything, I suppose. But ultimately, the issue here is that a lot of folks have really intense sensitivities to scents and chemicals. And if people are asking you to be sent free, then they're trying to be in a space where they can breathe, or they can try to be in a space that won't make them sick. A lot of times people have reactions to chemicals or fragrances that include vomiting and headaches, having trouble breathing, hives, even seizures. So it's something that is actually a very serious problem for folks that have multiple chemical and fragrance sensitivities. And as we were talking about in the earlier segment, of course, these kinds of chemicals and fragrances are toxins that do affect everyone. But they affect some people to really extreme areas where they can't even necessarily go to work or go out in public or even leave their houses.
Yes, that's right. Okay, so I just would like us to, there's 8 things that you mention in the article, and so I'd just like us to take some time and go through those 8 points, because those are the points. And so,
yeah,
so why don't you just start with the first one? I have the article in front of me, do you?
Yeah.
Okay, so start with the first one. This is for my self-expression.
Yeah, so as I said in the article, you know, it's essentially somebody who does a lot of work within the transgender community. Self-expression is something that we have trouble accessing a lot of the time. And so, like I said, it's a conversation that I think is really important and can be really charged depending on who you're talking to. Because for some people, you know, using nail polish or certain hair styling products or different perfumes is like a really important part of their identity. And I'm not in the business of trying to police anyone's self-expression at all. It's not like my goal by having chemical or fragrance sensitivities. But when I'm asking folks to be scent free or to not use chemicals in their environment, I'm actually expressing a desire to be able to be around them. And there are a lot of alternatives that you can use instead of mainstream fragrance products. They may or may not work for everybody, but I do want to be able to share spaces with people that may be using these products. And that's why I'm asking them to make a change.
Well, I would say that I'm not trying to change anyone's self-expression either, but I also... I'm a person that thinks everybody should be able to express themselves. I love to be my own individual self, and I want everyone else to be their own individual self too. But I think that a lot of times people don't realize the toxic effect that they're having, and that I think it's always a good idea to speak up and educate people in any situation. I mean, whether it's in a building or like a lot of people are concerned about scents in fabric softeners that people are using next door and down the street. And, and that a lot of times people just don't know. Like I remember years ago when cigarette smoking was banned in public places. And prior to that, I would ask people not to smoke. And they and if they were courteous, they would say, "Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know that it bothered you," and they'd put out the cigarette. And most of the times I had no problems, you know, and then I would run into somebody and they would say, "Grumble, grumble, grumble, grumble," and just kind of sneer at me and turn around and walk away. But I got rid of the cigarette.
You know? Right, right.
And so I think it always pays to ask. And I know for myself that my self-expression is to be toxic free. And I think that it would be a good idea for many, many more people in the world. I think there are many people listening today where that is our self-expression and that we have a right to have that in the world as much as they have a right to be toxic, I suppose. But it,
Like ultimately, you know, I want to be able to breathe when I'm in public, and that's really what the issue is here. And, you know, if folks are going to use toxic, you know, toxic self-care, self-expression products, ideally folks should use it like maybe when they're at home. Especially something like nail polish can take even a couple of days to off-gas. You really can't have like a no-scent space and be wearing nail polish. That makes me really sad because even though I have chemical and fragrance sensitivities, I still like wearing nail polish sometimes because I think it's awesome, even though it's toxic. But it's like at the same time, like I want to be respectful of other folks that have even more intense sensitivities than I do. So when I'm going into a public space, I make sure that I'm not wearing nail polish or that I've like painted my nails a couple of days in advance.
You know, that's just such a refreshing thing to hear for me because even though I have that viewpoint and you have that viewpoint, many people are only thinking of themselves and they're not thinking about the effect that they're having on other people or the effect on the environment. And I think that if everybody were to think, how do my actions affect others, that the world would be a very different place in a lot of ways.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, most people aren't necessarily being selfish. They just aren't really aware. And I think, too, you know, in the past, I don't know, a couple of decades, like the second half of the 1900s, there's been such an increase in fragrancy, chemically products, that it seemed really natural, but actually, like, it seems very normal that this is the state of affairs today, but it's actually a pretty recent occurrence that there's been so much toxicity in the products that we're buying and using. So it seems normal to us these days, but it actually isn't.
Yeah. Many years ago, a man wanted to date me. And I said, well, I'd love to go out with you, but I can't be around you because of the scented products you're using. And so I offered to give him some unscented products that he could use. And if he was willing to use them, I would go out with him. And he said yes. And so I put together a bag of, you know, soap and shaving cream and deodorant and shampoo. And it was all unscented. And he used them. And we went out and we had a lovely relationship for 2 years.
That's awesome.
So it always pays to let people know.
Yeah, it does. I think part of what's hard is like a lot of these personal care products are kind of personal, you know, like you don't necessarily want to go around telling people like about their deodorant or like their shampoo, you know, because like that feels like kind of like a personal invasion, which sort of leads into like number two on my article about ruining someone's personal space.
Well, when we come back from the break, we'll talk about you're ruining my personal space. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Adrienne Belew, and she's the author of an article we're discussing called Get Mad When Folks Ask You to Be Set Free. Here are 8 things to consider, and all of it has to do with access, people being allowed to go into a building without being poisoned. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Adrienne Belew, author of the article Get Mad When Folks Ask You to Be Sent Free. Here are 8 things to consider, which is about access issues for people who are sensitive to scents. And Adrienne, before we go on to the next, you're ruining my personal space. That's the one we're on, huh? Before we go on there, I want to ask you about something that you said in number one. And and I know that you work with social justice issues, and so I'm assuming that there's a whole field of social justice that has its various viewpoints and terminology and things to apply to various different situations. And one of those that you mention in the article is ableism. And on your website you have, which is adriennebelew.com, you have a whole list of lectures that you give that have all these isms and phobias and everything. And I was just interested to know, what is ableism?
Yeah, that's a really great question and definitely important to define for our show. Ableism is basically a form of oppression that affects people with disabilities, just like, well, not just as in the same way, but, you know, racism is oppression that affects people of color, or sexism is an oppression that affects people who aren't men. So ableism is something that affects people with disabilities, and it doesn't, it's not the part where somebody might actually have a disability that necessarily is ableist, but it's how society treats it. For example, it's not ableist that somebody's in a wheelchair, but it is ableist that somebody maybe can't get, like, into an event that doesn't have enough space for their wheelchair to move around. And it's not ableist that somebody has sensitivities to chemicals, but it is ableist if they can't access a space that has chemicals in it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I understand what you mean now by that. That makes sense because you're looking at the degree of ability that somebody has, and if there's a disability, how is that disability respected? Because it gets down to, we're basically human beings, and even if our bodies are disabled or our skin is a different color, we're still human beings, and we still have all the rights of human beings.
Exactly, and disability is also partly just kind of defined by society to a certain degree. Like, society has decided that there are certain things we should or shouldn't be able to do, and people who can't do those things are decided that they're disabled. For example, like, we don't necessarily think of most people who use glasses as disabled because of their glasses, but they do have their people who are wearing glasses use a device that helps them to be able to see. So in some ways it is a device that's correcting a disability, but because it's so common, maybe we don't necessarily see it as a disability.
It's also less of a, I can see that there's degrees of this, because it's much, you don't have to build a ramp for somebody who wears glasses. And so it's something that is more individual, and something that, I mean, a person with glasses can go out in the world and nobody has to accommodate their glasses. But with other disabilities, like somebody in a wheelchair, then in order for them to have access, then the building has to be constructed in a certain way, and that they have that right to that access, just as everybody who's sensitive to chemicals has the right to be in any building.
Definitely. And a lot of disability activists would say that, I think you kind of like hit the nail on the head in terms of why some things are seen as disabilities and some things aren't, is that, like, our society is built for some people over other people, right? Like, if folks with wheelchairs had more power in our society, we automatically would have buildings set up for them to be able to get into them, you know?
Right.
So I think that's part of why, like, why the difference is there. It's partly just how society sees us and sees, like, some needs as being really hard to accommodate or a burden to accommodate, and other needs as perfectly normal. Like, everybody needs some kind of help sometimes, but some help is seen as being related to a disability, and some help is seen as completely normal.
That's right. Now, another thing that you say, that I think you said it, but I want to say it again because you have it here in the article. You say, for the most part, wearing perfume is something that's best worn and used in the privacy of your own home. And I totally agree with that, because of the fact, and this is what I'm about to say is something that I struggled with for a long time before I understood it. So this is why I want to say it, is because I used to want to have my own personal individual expression everywhere. And if somebody didn't like my personal expression, then they didn't like me. That was how I felt. And I think a lot of people feel that way, that they're trying to be who they are in every situation. But what I learned was that I am myself, and at home, I can do whatever it is I want to do in the privacy of my own home, and including not have toxic chemicals. But when I go out in the world, then I'm part of a group. There's a group. We're a group of human beings. And we're living all together in the ecosystem of the earth. And once you step out of your own private space, you need to consider everybody else that's there and what is the good for everyone, not just yourself. And it's like, at the same time, we are both ourselves and we're part of these groups.
And
that we need to act accordingly depending on the situation. I think that's a really big thing that is not widely known in our society.
Yeah, and it can be really hard to not be able to express yourself in different ways. And I don't, I mean, obviously, because I have chemical and fragrance sensitivities, like, I don't tend to use them, like, the chemicals in my self-expression. But except, for example, nail polish, like we were talking about earlier, like, sometimes I really want to wear really sparkly nail polish, but yeah. That's not going to happen because I want to make sure I'm respecting other folks.
That's the key word, I think, respecting other folks. And I see all throughout this article that we're discussing, that's what I see is the thread of how can we respect other people instead of saying, me, 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 it's all about me. And that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be ourselves, but we should be ourselves and we should respect other people. Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
So are we now on number two?
Yeah, I think we are.
We're not, obviously not going to get through the whole thing, but no. We'll give the listeners a taste of what's going on here and they can look up and read the rest. So number two is you're ruining my personal space. So tell us about.
Yeah, and you know, I think a lot of these, the numbers on this list are really about people not understanding the severity of the impact that they have. You know, I don't think people would be saying that if they understood that actually, like, you know, this chemical is making it hard for somebody else to breathe, right? Like, and it can feel invasive and it can feel hard to make that change. But ultimately, like, folks with chemical and fragrance sensitivities are really struggling to have any personal space if they can't be well in a space that has fragrances in it.
Absolutely true. And also another thing is that it's not that there's something, I'll just say this again, that it's not that there's something wrong with the person that they have chemical sensitivities. It's that they've been exposed to ordinary, everyday chemicals and they've been made sick from it. And especially with fragrances, if they come to a person, it's not that, you know, the person with the sensitivity doesn't like that person, or it's not a personal thing at all. It's just that the person is wearing a scent that is making them sick.
Yep, exactly.
Oh, we have to go to break again. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest is Adrienne Belew. And we're talking about her article, Get Mad When Folks Ask You to Be Scent Free. Here are 8 things to consider. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Adrienne Belew, author of the article Get Mad When Folks Ask You to Be Scent Free. Here are 8 things to consider. And you can just go to toxicfreetalkradio.com, look for this show, and there'll be a link to that article, or you can look it up in your favorite search engine. Adrienne, instead of talking about more points in the article, because we're in the last segment now, so I'd like us to just talk about what things people can do to reduce their use of fragrances that might bother other people. And in particular, you have a link, which I just was looking for and I've lost, about how you can have a meeting that's fragrance-free. And so other people who can't tolerate fragrances can come to have access to come to the meeting. So let's talk about those things a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, you can check out the article to see some really common products that can cause reactions for people with multiple chemical and fragrance sensitivities. Uh-huh. And I think that the biggest thing to do is to, if you know somebody has multiple chemical or fragrance sensitivities, to check in with them and to ask them what they need from any given situation. Some people have higher sensitivities, some people have less sensitivities, and, you know, try to figure out the best way to support what they're asking you to do. Sometimes, you know, I, for example, experience reactions to essential oils, which other people think are like a natural scent, and maybe nobody would have a reaction to, but I react to it. And so, like, sometimes, like, other people are like, oh, well, you know, I have this friend who doesn't have that reaction at all, and they have really severe chemical sensitivities. You're probably making it up. So, I mean, obviously validate what people are saying to you and try to figure out a way to make it work for them. And then when you're going out in public, really try to think about ways to reduce the chemicals or fragrances that you're wearing or to stop wearing them entirely. I think that those are two really huge ways to do that. And I guess one thing to do in terms of limiting chemicals or fragrances is some people think that it's only about wearing perfume or cologne, and they aren't thinking about other fragrances that might be in the air or on their body. And so they think, oh, I'm not wearing scented deodorant maybe, or I'm not wearing perfume, so it must be fine. But in reality, there are so many things that can cause a reaction for people.
I just want to jump in on that one because I have recently been in some public places where the problem really was the scent of the detergent on their clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And so
yeah.
it had nothing to do with wearing any kind of scented product. It was their clothes. And it
yep.
smelled, you could smell it all the way across the room.
Yep, and it's really hard to get scents out of clothes. It's important to know that if you're trying to be fragrance-free for a public event or a conference that's low scent or scent-free, you're going to need to wash your clothes in advance, but not just an unscented detergent. It's best to add some baking soda into your clothes because that's, or into the washing machine, because that's really what's going to help to reduce the odor, but it still will probably take a couple washes for it to get entirely washed out. But that's a really big one. People aren't thinking about that much. Sometimes, yeah. you know, like I might go over and stay at a friend's house or with family who aren't necessarily thinking about that, and I just can't even necessarily sleep on like the sheets and blankets they have there because they have scented detergent.
So yeah, it's really a problem. It's the scented
detergent.
Yeah,
definitely
it seems
is.
Like it's getting worse and worse.
Yeah, and it's important to know too that if you're trying to be in solidarity with folks who have chemical or fragrance sensitivities, because it's really exhausting to continually list all the things that could have scents in them and ask people whether they're really fragrance-free. For me, I'm lucky enough that I can go out into a lot of places and not experience too much of a reaction, so I don't have to continually have this conversation. But for folks who are more sensitive, it's very exhausting to try to make that happen. I've noticed a lot of times people are starting to become more aware of fragrance issues, and maybe they'll put on, like, you know, on their event description on Facebook or something that, you know, you should not wear fragrances to this event, but they don't talk about what that actually means. So,
and
you know,
think
for
it's
folks,
important to talk about what that actually means, because otherwise people will come in and it won't really be a fragrance-free event because they don't understand what that all the possibilities, and the groups that want to have fragrance-free events should take the time to define what that means for them.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I can't really go into all the products that can cause fragrance sensitivities right now, but I might just list some so people
yeah,
kind of have an
yeah.
idea of how much to think about.
Yeah.
So we've got air fresheners, we've got cigarette or marijuana smoke or other drug smokes, cleaning products, deodorant, essential oils, hair products, laundry detergent, dryer sheets, fabric softeners, makeup, nail polish remover can be even worse sometimes, soap, aftershave, bubble solution, dish soap, incense, insect repellent, lotion, paint, perfume, obviously, and cologne, scented candles, spray paint, sunscreen, varnish, like markers that you use on whiteboards or permanent markers, and like just so many other things have scents and fragrances, but those are some really common products that can cause reactions. I know that scented candles can be a big one. Like sometimes people have them just chilling in the living room or chilling in the closet, and they don't have it lit, but the scent is still really strong and causes a big reaction.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So another really common thing is, you know, if you're out in public, and I mean, I'm not so sensitive that I can't use hand soap in bathrooms and that kind of thing, but some folks really are, and a lot of soaps are extremely scented. Even ones that aren't very scented can be bad for some people. So please make sure you have unscented soap in your bathrooms at home and at your job or school. Like, that would be such a huge help.
This is just, I can't tell you how happy I am to hear you saying all these things, because it really is so unusual for anyone to be talking about these things in terms
it
of
is.
Being courteous for others in public places.
Yeah. The other thing I would say, I know we don't have a lot of time left, but is like, it's really important. Like, I know sometimes people really want to be scent-free and might feel like shy or like maybe even a little bit ashamed if they aren't sure that they're entirely scent-free, or they're not sure, but they think that maybe they worked really hard and it's close enough. For somebody like me who has minimal sensitivities, it may be, depending on what the scents are that that person is wearing. But for other people, you know, close enough really isn't enough. And it's just really important if somebody's in the process of trying to become scent-free to just be honest with the people around them about where they might have, like, might be wearing scents. So that person who has chemical or fragrant sensitivities can make a choice about what to do with their body, because unfortunately, you know, they may have a reaction right there, but some chemicals and fragrances, you can't necessarily smell, or you don't necessarily notice right off the bat. And so, yeah. You might have a reaction much later and you might not know where it's coming from, if it's a much more subtle scent. And so it's really important to just be honest and upfront and, like, even if, like, be like, I'm not really sure if this is scented or not. It said unscented, but it had a kind of weird smell. That's the other thing. Some products that say they're unscented actually are still scented. But, you know, I'm not really sure about this, or, you know, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, I went to a friend's house and they had scented soap. Like, I'm not sure what to do about it, but I just wanted to let you know so that you can stay safe, you know. And it's ultimately a safety issue, even though for people who are less sensitive, they may not be thinking about it in those terms.
Yeah, you know, once I had a situation where a friend got together with me at a time that we had determined we were going to get together. And he was coming straight from getting a massage. And mm-hmm. and the massage oil had scent in it. And yeah. So it was so funny because he never is scented. Never, never, never is scented. And here he walks up with a scent all over his body.
Right.
And I said, oh, my God, what did you just do? You know? And he said, oh, it's the massage oil. And he went straight to the bathroom and washed his body so that he would not be offending me with the odor. So,
yeah,
I mean, I think that that is how everyone should be. He's an exceptional person. He's very conscious of how he affects everybody, but in every way. So, but I think that the more just the society in general could think about the different ways that people might be affected by the toxic exposures that they produce, I think that would be an interesting thing.
Yeah, it's really important. And ultimately, you know, it's about everyone being able to, you know, consent to living in a world that is going to be safe and good for them.
Yes.
And, you know, I mean, I'm not going to tell other people what's good for their bodies or what's not. I can only really say what's good for mine. But, like, I know that, you know, this is something that's going to create a space where more people can be, and that's really important. It's also important to know that, like, sometimes, like, you know, there's, like, aromatherapy, or there are other times where people use scents as part of, like, their treatment for other disabilities they might have, or for other parts of, like, maybe their mental health care. It's not my goal to, like, police anybody else's needs. You know, sometimes people are addicted to cigarettes. Like, that's, or maybe they just like smoking, even if they aren't addicted. And, like, you know, I'm not here to, like, judge any of that. Or even if people just want to wear scents, it's just, you know, we also, folks who have chemical and fragrance sensitivities, we also need to be able to be in public spaces, and that's really important too.
It is, yeah, both need to be important, and the idea is to figure out how everyone can have what it is they need and all be happy and healthy and sustain life on Earth. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. We're at the end of the show. And again, my guest is Adrienne Belew. You can go to her website, adriennebelew.com. You can go to ToxicFreeTalkRadio.com and get a link to her article that we've been discussing today. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindak. Be well.